So therefore, they would not listen to their father. And so this morning, we're going to look at the words of the man of God, some of the words of the man of God, to the priest Eli, and how that Eli and his sons did not honor the Lord. And this morning, we want to look at honoring the Lord. I'm going to give you three things that we need to remember if you and I are going to honor the Lord. It says in the last few words of verse number 30, "For them that honor me will I honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Eli was not honoring the Lord, and neither was Hophni and Phinehas. And so we want to look at honoring the Lord this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to bless the reading of His Word. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord, for everything that we've already experienced thus far. We do thank You for Your Holy Spirit that comes and meets with us and speaks to us and ministers to us through the words that are spoken and through song. And we thank You, God, that we have already been encouraged by the goings-on here this morning at Grace Fellowship Baptist Church. Lord Jesus, we want You to be on the inside. We want You to be the focus. Lord, we need You to speak to us, to speak to our hearts. We pray, God, that You would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, a heart that will receive Your word. I pray that we'd break up the fallow ground of our heart, some that have hard hearts, broken hearts, whatever it might be, God, we pray that You'd minister to us and You'd help us to be drawn closer to You. We pray that we would be conformed to the image of Your Son, Jesus Christ, and not to ourselves or not to the world. We present ourselves before You this morning, God, and ask You to deal with us. Help me to speak and say what needs to be said, and we'll thank You for it, Lord. We love You and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 27, man of God comes to Eli. Doesn't say who the man of God is. Doesn't give us the name. He's a prophet. "And there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear the ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all of the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of the offerings of Israel, my people? Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, Be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." You know, we are commanded to honor the Lord many times throughout Scripture. Now, I'd like to define what the word honor means before we go any further. We need to define the terms. The word honor means something that is heavy. It's got a lot of weight to it. So if you're going to honor something, you'd put a lot of weight on what God said or who God is. That's what it means to honor something. You think a lot of that one thing that you would honor. If you're going to honor something, it would mean that you would glorify or you would promote that. That's what it means to honor. And obviously, Eli and his sons have not put a whole lot of weight on what God has said. They have not glorified Him and they have not promoted Him. There's many commands throughout Scripture to honor the Lord. It says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 9, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." If we're going to honor the Lord the way that we ought to give Him the first place, give Him the preeminence. And Solomon writes to his son and he says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance. Give Him the first thing. Give Him the first fruits of all thine increase." And so Honoring the Lord is giving Him the first place, giving Him first in everything. That's why we're here this morning. First day of the week. Going to give God the first day. I mean, every day belongs to the Lord, but we mark it off as this belongs to God. This is God's day, and we want to honor God in that way. Eli and his sons were not honoring the Lord. They were not giving God the first place, and as a matter of fact, they were taking the things that belonged to God, and they were taking it for themselves. The chiefest part of the sacrifices that the children of Israel would bring for their forgiveness belonged to God. And they were taking those things, and they were eating that, and they were taking it for themselves, making themselves fat. They were taking the things that belonged to God for themselves. They weren't honoring God. And Eli was there, and he knew all about it, and he wasn't doing a whole lot about it. But how can you and I honor the Lord to the highest degree? How can you and I avoid the sins of Eli and Hophni and Phinehas and not fall into that trap of not honoring the Lord? Because we all have the flesh on us. We all have a sinful nature. We should make it our goal to honor the Lord. Now, the first thing, one of the things that I want to make certain in your mind is that we are not Eli and Hophni and Phinehas. We are not, because we've already heard what the Bible says about Hophni and Phinehas. The Bible says that Hophni and Phinehas were sons of Belial. Now, if you're a Christian here today and you've been born again, you got the Spirit of God abiding on the inside of you, and you've been born again, you are not Hophni and Phinehas. Because they were sons of Belial. Belial means like the devil. Spiritually worthless. No good. And that's not us. If you're not saved here today, it might be something different for you in this sermon. But that doesn't mean we can't learn something from the story of Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas. These were religious men. They would have been the preachers of the day. They would have been the spiritual rulers of the day. Everyone looked up to them. That ought to tell us something. That ought to tell us that not everyone who comes to church, not everyone who stands behind a pulpit, not everyone who sits in the pew is saved. They could be unsaved. They could be sons of Belial. And so we ought to perk up and pay attention. Here's Hophni and Phinehas and Eli, and they are not honoring the Lord. And the man of God comes to Eli, and he poses some very serious questions to Eli. Now, he's not talking to Eli to try and get a response from him. He's not having like a conversation with him. Now, Eli, I want you to tell me some things. No, he's appealing to the conscience of Eli, and he wants him to think about some things. And as Eli is hearing the man of God speak, he starts probably answering the question in his mind. Oh, yeah, you're right. And so the man of God is going for his conscience, trying to wake him up a little bit. You have not been honoring the Lord, but I don't want us to forget the same things. I want us to remember the same things about honoring God. What do we need to remember if you and I are going to honor the Lord to the highest degree? Well, three things that we need to remember if we are going to honor the Lord to the highest degree. The first thing is this, is that we must remember the grace of God. If you and I are going to honor the Lord, we must never forget the grace of God. Now, when the man of God speaks to Eli, he asks him a question in verse number 27. The man of God comes to Eli and he says to him, "Thus saith the Lord, didn't I appear unto thy house and the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Didn't I come to your father's house when they were still in bondage in Egypt? And didn't I choose your family? Didn't I choose your tribe to be doing what you're doing? Didn't I come to you?" It says, "Thus saith the Lord." That's the Lord speaking. That's not the man of God making something up, saying, "Hey, these are my words." No, this says, "Thus saith the Lord." This is what God is saying to you. He says, "I came to your father when they were still in bondage in Egypt." Who was the father of Eli? It was Aaron. Before they were ever redeemed from bondage in Egypt, God comes And he says, Aaron, I'm choosing you to be the high priest of my people Israel. And I'm choosing you out to do this job when they were still in Pharaoh's house. That's a significant thing. They didn't have anything going for them. They were slaves. They had no rights. They were not a people. They're not the greatest people on the face of the earth. As a matter of fact, they were the smallest nation on the face of the earth. And the man of God is coming to Eli and saying, hey, you were nothing when I came to you. You had nothing when I came to you. You had no rights when I came to you. You had no strength. Hey, you couldn't even get out of the land by yourself. You're being ruled over by a pagan king named Pharaoh. I came to you. I sought you out, Eli. I sought your forefathers out. It wasn't you. You didn't come to me. I wasn't begging crumbs from you, Eli. No, it was me that came to you. And notice the I statements. I, me, mine altar, where the ephod before me, what I did to the house of thy father. It was me that came to you. The prophet doesn't attribute anything to Eli. He doesn't come up to Eli and say, man, I sure am lucky I got you on my side. Man, I don't know what I would do if I didn't have Eli and Hophni and Phinehas and if Aaron and all his. I just don't know what I would have done. God does not come and approach, the man of God does not come and approach Eli in that way. He says, no, it was me that came to you. And the man of God is trying to get Eli to look. Remember, the reason that you're here is because of the grace of God and the grace of God alone, because you had nothing to do with it. We must remember the grace of God because they were nothing to begin with. Aaron starts as a minus. He has no pedigree. He has nothing to go with. They have no altar. They have no incense. They have no sacrifices in Egypt. They had absolutely nothing, and the grace of God comes and takes them out of that place. If you and I are going to remember that we need to honor the Lord, that we must remember it's all of the grace of God. Now, I think that Eli probably had forgotten these things. Eli may have gotten a big head now. He's thinking, man, I'm a priest now. I can do whatever I want to do. And he'd forgotten about the grace of God, but you and I must remember the grace of God if we're going to honor God to the highest degree. Because when people forget about the grace of God, they become extremely self-righteous. And they do not honor God when they forget about the grace of God. That was the problem with the children of Israel, or at least the Jews in Jesus' day. That was their downfall, as a matter of fact. John the Baptist comes and preaches to the nation of Israel. And he says, you better repent. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Comes and preaches to them. You know what it was? John the Baptist is already thinking ahead. And he says, don't be thinking within yourselves that we have Abraham to our father. Don't be thinking that just because you're the Jews and you're the children of Israel that you're already saved. Don't be thinking that you don't need to repent. Because that's what they were probably thinking. Now, what's John the Baptist coming up to us for? I mean, doesn't he know that we are the children of Israel? Doesn't he know that we are the chosen race? Oh, we don't need to repent. Go preach to the Gentiles. Samaritans need to hear this stuff, not us. We're the children of Israel. And they had forgotten that it was the grace of God that put them there. And John the Baptist says, God is able to raise up stones to himself. God is able to raise up children from the stones to himself of the children of Abraham. Don't believe that you were something special just because you were a Jew. You need to repent too. You need to get right too. And they had forgotten about the grace of God. I mean, your ethnic background doesn't mean anything. You still need to repent. You still need to get right. And by the way, the Jews wouldn't even have had a nation if it was not for God. God took Abraham out of a Gentile family who were idol worshipers, and he called him out to be the first Jew. If God hadn't have done that, they'd still be pagans. They'd still be idol worshipers. They'd still be with the rest of us Gentiles. So in order to honor God in all things, we must remember grace. You and I were nothing. We had nothing to offer God. We're not saved because we're good people. We're not saved because we're righteous people. We're not saved because God needed us. Amen. I'm not preaching here today because God needed me. Amen. You're not here today because God needed you. It's all because of the grace of God, and sometimes we get a big head, don't we? Yeah. Well, God sure does need me. Here we sat in the pews and we think, well, what's he preaching to us for, man? We're Americans. We don't need the grace of God. No, we all need the grace of God. And you're never going to honor God the way that you ought to if you're always patting yourself on the back and thinking that you are somebody and that God needs you. Paul the Apostle says in Romans chapter 11, verse 34 to 36, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord?" Who hath known the mind of the Lord? His ways are unsearchable. Who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Who's going to give God advice? Or who's going to give him something first that he didn't already have? You and I can give God nothing. God needs nothing. He is self-sustaining. He needs nothing. And you're not going to tell God anything he doesn't already know. And you're not going to give God anything he doesn't already have. Everything that you have, I don't care if you're saved, lost, what you are, everything that you have is all because of the grace of God. Amen. Your life, your family, your health, everything that you have is because of the grace of God. He says, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." How did Paul glorify God above all things? He said, God doesn't need us and God doesn't need anything. It's all of grace. If you and Guy are going to honor God above all things, grace needs to be preeminent in our lives. It needs to be foundational. That's what the man of God goes to first. You were nothing. But now look where you are. Eli had forgotten about it. The Jews forgot about it. And I don't think for a second that just because we're American Christians, we couldn't forget about it. We could forget about it. The man of God goes on to say, and he asked him another question. There's something else that you and I could forget. We must never forget and remember to put God first above all. God must be first if you and I are going to honor God the way that we ought to. Right. He goes on and he speaks in verse number 25 and he says, "Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice? And you honor your sons above me." He says, "I commanded those sacrifices in my habitation and now you are kicking at my sacrifice." The man of God gives us a powerful word picture here of what Eli and Hophni and Phinehas are doing to those sacrifices. He says, "You're kicking at them." Now, if I'm going to kick at something, I don't think too much of them. I won't kick a whole lot of things. I might kick a post if I get mad or a wall if I get mad. I haven't done that in a long time, but I you know what I'm saying. I don't think a whole lot of something I'm going to kick. And the man of God saying, "Hey, these sacrifices that God gave you for the forgiveness of the sins of Israel, now you are kicking at them." Now, if I like something, or something is precious to you, or something means a whole lot to you, you're going to wrap that thing up in bubble wrap. Boy, you're going to put that on the top shelf. I don't want the kids getting to it. I don't want nobody getting to it. I'm going to take care of that because that is precious to me. That means something to me. But the man of God says, "Look, you are kicking at my sacrifices. They are meaningless to you. They mean nothing to you." And God is the man of God is telling Eli his commandments and what God had said were the lowest priority in your life at this time, Eli. They mean nothing to you. The commandments of God to Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas were something that was to be scorned, disrespected, absolutely no respect whatsoever for what God has said. It was not precious. God was not first in their lives. He was last in their lives. And by the way, Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were fornicators. They were evil men. And Eli had exalted his sons above God. And so God meant absolutely nothing to Eli by the way that he was acting. Yeah, he was a priest. Yeah, he was supposed to put God first, but by the way he was acting, he was putting God last. And God meant nothing to him. And Eli sees all the stuff going on. He sees how they're laying with the women at the temple. He sees how they're treating the sacrifices, and he did nothing to stop it. He doesn't say anything about it. Well, I don't want to rock the boat. Sons need to eat. They've got to support themselves. I see the wickedness going on. I just sure don't want to hurt their feelings. So I'm going to put my sons first, and I'm going to put God last, and I'm going to kick God like a dog on the floor. And I'm not going to respect him whatsoever. He was not putting God first. The commandments of God had become something that was loathsome, repulsive, and disgusting. And it was all for the greater good. My sons mean more to me, and the feelings of my sons mean more to me than what God has said. And he was not putting God first. He could have avoided this whole tragedy by confronting his sons and saying, hey, don't be doing that. You better stop. Because the things that you are involved in is something that's holy, is something that's righteous, and something that God greatly cares about, but he was putting them last. If you and I are going to honor God in all things, God must be first in all things. Could you and I, as New Testament Christians, could you and I treat the commandments of God as something that is to be kicked and to be scorned? Could you and I, as Christians, treat the commandments of God as something that is optional to be obeyed? Could you and I feel as though we can put God last in our lives and put the feelings of others first? I don't want to rock the boat too much. I mean, I don't want to upset these people. I don't want to say anything about it. And so I'm not going to say anything. Now, we could sit here and we could talk about the rest of Christianity, about what they're doing in their church and all this stuff, but how about what we're doing? How about our church? How about what we're doing and sitting in our pews? How are we rejecting the commandments of God? I mean, we might not be like the atheists and say, I don't really believe the Word of God, but our actions and our priorities say that we think just about like an atheist sometimes. We don't put God first, and we say with our actions, well, really, I don't care about God. Really, I don't care what God says, and I have more things, better things to honor in my life than what God says, and I really don't care about the Word of God. I really don't care about the commandment of God, and we use the greater good argument. Hey, why rock the boat? Why hurt people's feelings? And we really don't care about God's feelings. We really don't care about what God has to say. Well, I know I'm supposed to honor God, but I have higher priorities in my life, and my feelings and my comfort and my security is much more important and precious to me than what God has said. And we say nothing about it. And meanwhile, there's a big festering problem on the surface, and it's bubbling up. And we're not doing anything about it. But one of these days, it's going to come to the surface. And then we'll have to deal with it. But it'd be a lot better to deal with it right now. And all of it could be resolved by, hey, put God first. Put God first above all things. God is not going to take a back seat to anyone or anything. He will not do it because God is supreme. He is supreme. We must remember to put God first. There's a third thing that we need to remember. We need to remember that we will reap what we sow. If you and I are going to honor God as supreme, we must remember that we will reap what we sow. Eli and his sons had seemingly forgot this principle. I don't know how they had forgotten that. He says in verse number 30, the man of God is speaking to Eli, and he says, "For them that honor me will I honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." If you don't honor me, you're going to be lightly esteemed in my eyes. You will reap what you sow. He says in verse number 30, he says, "I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever." Yeah, I did say that. God said, Aaron, your sons, your family, your house will indeed walk before me forever. I said it. But now the Lord saith. But now the Lord saith. God's saying something different now. Now, wasn't that God changed? It wasn't that his nature had changed. It was not that the promise has changed. It was that the priesthood meant something holy and they profaned that profession. Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas had changed. And now God's going to do something else. Eli and his sons thought they could get away with sin indefinitely. They thought, well, hey, we're priests. I know what the law says. The law says that we're supposed to be here forever. The law says that God chose us to do this. And we'll be doing this forever. And so therefore, I think we can go ahead and live however we want to live. God's not going to do anything about it. I mean, he chose us to do this, and he said we could do it forever. And so therefore, we can live how we want to live. But just because God chose Eli and Hophni and Phinehas and their family to do this does not negate the consequences of their sin. The law of sowing and reaping is still in effect. You can't get around it. It's going to happen. Being a Levitical priest for Eli and Hophni and Phinehas, it was not a license to sin. God did not give them that profession so they could live however they want to live. God did not give them that role in Israel so that they could feed their flesh and just live licentiously. He did not. He did not. No, being a priest was a commitment to live in holiness and to be an example to the rest of the nation of Israel. That's what it was for. And they took that and they turned it around and they fed themselves and they fed their flesh with it. Now, they should have known this. They should have known that you reap what you sow. They're the spiritual leaders of Israel. They knew the scriptures. They should have known that you can't treat God any way that you want to and just get away with it and scorn God. You just can't do it. They should have known Numbers chapter 32 and verse number 23, which says, "Be sure your sin will find you out." They knew all of those things. They were teachers of the law. And if they truly wanted to honor God, they would have remembered those things. If you and I have a desire to honor God to the highest degree, we are going to have to remember that you reap what you sow. You can't just say, hey, I'm a Christian. I'm an American Christian. I live in the Bible Belt. I can live however I want to live. I mean, I've got my get out of hell free card. I've prayed the prayer.